Hello, my name is Michael, and you're listening to Forever Sound Version, a video game music podcast. How do, dear friends? This is episode 59 of Forever Sound Version, dedicated to the Destruction Derby series of games. The track you just heard was Crash Boom Bang from Destruction Derby on the Sony PlayStation, released in 1995. The composers are Tim Swan and Elliot Sumner. Ah, Destruction Derby. Who didn't love a bit of Destruction Derby? In case you're unfamiliar with it, the original Destruction Derby is a sort of stock car racing game published by the legendary British publisher Psygnosis and developed in the north of England, oh yes, by the teams Studio 33 and Reflections. The game has four different modes: time trial, stock car racing, wrecking racing, which is much like stock car racing except you score points for intentionally inflicting damage on other cars, and the eponymous Destruction Derby, where you and a large bowl full of other cars slam into each other with furious abandon, trying to score points by making each other spin. When there's only one car left, the game ends. As you might expect, Destruction Derby caused a bit of a stir upon release for this last game mode, and it's still a ton of fun to play today. As I record this, Sony's PlayStation Classic console, basically a mini PS1 with a bunch of games built in, has been out for a couple of weeks now, and it hasn't been received particularly well. I'll be honest, I think it looks rubbish, probably put together and released in a hurry for Christmas, but at least it comes with Destruction Derby. It's really cool to see the original Destruction Derby game brought back in this way, and I hope that it will mean a lot of younger newcomers will get to experience the same thrills I experienced as a young lad in the 90s. We just went harder in the 90s, trust me. A big part of the game's appeal is, of course, its soundtrack. Handled by Tim Swan and Elliot Sumner, you're getting a mix of hard, pulsing electronic music that takes cues from rave and jungle. This worked very nicely with how Sony wanted to sell the PlayStation in Europe. This thing wasn't just for kids and shut-ins, it was for the geezers, the students, the clubbers, the football fans, the cool uncles, and so on. Psygnosis knew exactly what they were doing with the music on their games in the 90s. Let's have some more music then, and it's a double feature: an in-game tune and then a race results screen tune. Here's Hard Hitter and Ranking, composed by Tim Swan and Elliot Sumner. We'll be right back. we just had Hard Hitter and Ranking from Destruction Derby on the Sony PlayStation. Something very pacey and energetic, and then something calm and relaxed, though I do detect hints of dirt and darkness in its synth textures. The game's front cover shows a single car emerging from a massive plume of thick black smoke, driving directly into a foregrounded sea of flames, and some text at the top challenges the reader, "Reckon you can handle it?" Inside the game's manual is a passage of text that was written to get the player excited about getting started with their new purchase. It reads, "After motor vehicles were discovered, flags began to be used on roads. Destruction Derby arrived shortly after. Want to know why? Read on. Coloured flags could be called the forerunners of traffic lights. Men used them to direct very heavy traffic. These men, the forerunners of race judges, calmly stood in front of the cars and let them pass one by one. Nowadays, their job would not be much of a contribution to road safety, but it was then. The world was not so crazy, and cars were not so fast. The judges went to work equipped with a red flag and a green flag. They showed the red flag when a car coming from behind had to stop. Shortly after, they showed the green flag, indicating that the driver could continue. Sometimes a gust of wind would blow the flags into the flagman's face. Flailing his arms in an attempt to get untangled, he got drivers in a tight spot. Understandably, the drivers got angry at the damage to their vehicles, that they could hardly resist the lure of destruction, so they deliberately turned it into a fun pastime. Bales of hay were used to mark the track. With these and a few rules for the starting line, drivers began to take their places. What happened to the flagmen? They were allowed to use their flags to give the starting signal for the destruction track, without coming to any harm, of course. That is how something as simple and innocent as waving a couple of flags brought about the birth of such an exciting, savage sport. Today, most of the world's cities have a Destruction Derby track. Cities like Rome and Athens, that still do not have a track, can practice their hobby on the city's streets. You don't need to know all this. You don't even have to know how to drive. Right now, you own just about the most incredible, fascinating game in the world. So, invite a couple of friends in, turn the sound up, and cause some destruction out there." Well, that was something, wasn't it? Despite being a game that thrives on chaos, the development of Destruction Derby was, by all accounts, quite meticulous in its attention to detail, with some staff attending stock car races and taking several photographs of damage on cars to apply to the game's graphics using texture mapping. Moreover, the game's racetracks really look the part, with some very interesting features. The track City Heat features some graffiti of the words Toon Army, Toon Army being a colloquial name for fans of the football team Newcastle United. With all of its concrete structures and overpasses, the City Heat level does look quite a lot like parts of Newcastle to my eyes, and I should know because I live in Newcastle. One of the teams involved in Destruction Derby's development, Reflections, was based here on Tyneside, so yeah, there is a pretty good chance it's Newcastle. These days, Reflections is known as Ubisoft Reflections, and they remain here in Newcastle. If anyone from Ubisoft Reflections is listening to this episode and looking for a new sound and music person, just give me a shout. Alright, enough of me trying to get a job through the medium of podcasting, let's have some more tunes. That's why you're here, isn't it? We're moving on to Destruction Derby 2, released in 1996, once again on the Sony PlayStation. Here's How Do You Know? And Little Pig, composed by Richard Beston, Dean Liddell, and Andrew Lewis, collectively known as Jug. You have just been rocking to How Do You Know and Little Pig by the thrash band Jug. Definitely evidencing a different approach to that of the first Destruction Derby game and its electronic style. Tying in with the connection the Destruction Derby series has with the northeast of England once more, the band Jug were from Sunderland. Richard Beston, the band's singer, was also one of Destruction Derby 2's artists, so the Reflections team were really keeping it in the family with this one. Destruction Derby 2 is rather a lot like its predecessor, albeit with some better graphics. In December 1996, Edge magazine wrote, "Destruction Derby 2 is the game the original should have been. With the luxury of more advanced development tools and more generous deadlines, its programmers have finally realized the full potential of the concept. DD2 is excellent for a number of reasons, the vast majority of which stemming from the radically improved mechanics of its cars." I think I would agree with this. Destruction Derby 2 is certainly a more polished affair. I've got one more track from Destruction Derby 2, and it's a menu theme. Possibly the most menacing menu theme you will ever hear. This is something pretty special. Here's Joyrider, again composed by Richard Beston, Dean Liddle and Andrew Lewis of Jug. Was Joyrider from Destruction Derby 2. As dark and heavy as you like. It sounds almost gothic in its slow, twisted guitar figures and coarse ambient sounds. If you've ever listened to anything on Hydrahead Records and enjoyed it, I imagine this track worked for you. I'm going to take us out of Redbook audio territory now to go to a game that was released on the Nintendo 64. Destruction Derby 64. Yes, N64 gamers were allowed a slice of the action too, although they had to wait until 1999. This title was developed by Looking Glass Studios and was published by THQ, which was a pretty large company in its day, but Destruction Derby 64 didn't really make all that much of an impact. I hadn't even heard of it until I started researching for this show, and I was surprised to learn of its existence. It's not exactly the sort of game you associate with Nintendo's 64-bit machine. Nevertheless, the soundtrack has some very interesting moments. Here's Terminal Impact and Aztec Ruins, composed by Eric Brosius. We just had Terminal Impact and Aztec Ruins, composed by Eric Brosius, as heard on the game Destruction Derby 64. This pair of tracks took us back to the rave, with drum and synth patterns that loop, but never seem to sound the same twice. I think a lot of time and thought went into the composition of these pieces. There's an abundance of neat rhythmic and textural ideas on display here. Eric Brosius has a number of other music and sound credits under his belt that I think warrant a bit of recognition, like the Nintendo 64 port of Command & Conquer and the PC title Fireteam. More recently, Brosius has been audio director of a number of Guitar Hero and Rock Band games. Of course, those games are all comprised of licensed music, but I imagine you really have to know what you're doing with sound in software to make those games work. So he's clearly got some chops. Next up, we're going back to the PlayStation for Destruction Derby Raw, composed in 2000. Here's Want Some Fast, composed by Gary McKill, Mike Clark, and Dan Selby.
Thank you.
That was Want Some Fast from Destruction Derby Raw on the Sony PlayStation. It might want some fast, but this track's prevailing tempo is really quite low, giving off a trip-hop-esque feel that is nevertheless punctuated by a double-time feel in some sections thanks to the busy percussion. The rest of the soundtrack is a fairly varied affair, offering a mixture of heavy metal, electronica, and at times an uneasy synthesis of the two. It's almost as though the developers were torn between the styles of the original Destruction Derby and Destruction Derby 2, so they opted for both. While its title may include the word raw, the game comprises a more refined formula than its predecessors, introducing new game modes like Smash for $, or Smash for Cash, I guess, and the AI of the CPU opponents was improved significantly. In 2000, GameSpot UK wrote, "Destruction Derby Raw is a reminder that games can be both visually accomplished and fun. It is inventive, eminently playable, and also extends its lifespan with 31 courses that provide a beautifully balanced learning curve. While the basic premise of the game remains constant throughout, which could have endangered the game's variety, Studio 32 has kept it fresh with 19 suitably worthy CPU-controlled opponents and an unpredictable nature that runs from start to finish." The last game I want to look at in this episode is Destruction Derby Arenas on the PlayStation 2, released in 2004. Here's the track Nitrous, composed by Simon Withenshaw. We just had Nitrous from Destruction Derby Arenas. Some more chunky beats and tidy guitar action here, but this time with some extra interesting flourishes, including a voice that sounds a little bit like a harp. Pretty nice stuff. Sadly, Destruction Derby Arenas is not considered to be very good, despite offering an online play mode. On paper, the Destruction Derby format should make for an amazing online multiplayer game, but apparently not. Destruction Derby Arenas remains the last game in the series 14 years on. I can't help but wonder, could it be resurrected? And that's just about all I've got for you, for this episode and for the year 2018. Thank you very much to all of you excellent Forever Sound Version listeners, and to all who have appeared on an episode as a guest this year too. This continues to be a lot of fun. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can email me at foreversoundversion@gmail.com. You can like this podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/foreversoundversion, and you can follow me on Twitter. The handle is FSVpodcast. To close, let's have one more track from the original Destruction Derby, released in 1995 on the Sony PlayStation. This is the very ravey Chaos Overlord by Tim Shaw and Elliot Sumner. Perhaps this isn't all that festive a tune to go out on as we approach Christmas. If that bothers you, just imagine there's a sleigh bells loop playing over the top. That should sort you out. Thanks again, everyone, and I'll see you all again in 2019. All the best for now.